on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this bus.
Hello, everybody. Welcome on, welcome all, and welcome back to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Carter.
And I'm your host, Cody Van Cielum.
Cody, the winning streak, or not one, not the winning streak, jeez. The losing streak, jeez, what an epic open. The losing streak is over, man. What a win.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely, I was absolutely elated yesterday. I was so happy for the boys, man. Like, it was awesome. But
yeah,
we gotta clap it up. Let's clap it up. Yeah, man, they deserve that. The defense played out of its mind yesterday. And big ups to them, and the offense made plays, and it was definitely a team win at that. It was all three phases did their part yesterday, and as we know, the game winning play with Aiden Flora, the pride of ADM, man. He was just, as soon as he hit the 50, I was like, oh man, that blazing track speed. I just knew. I was like, oh baby. I was going nuts. I was at my friend's house and I was jumping up and down and I was going nuts and everybody was looking at me crazy. But what a win. And Cody, what were you thinking?
I mean, coming into this game, I have pretty low confidence because it's like, obviously, you've lost four in a row. You've just heard the news that you lost yet another defensive back. I mean, I've even made the joke that, like, you take a drink for every defensive back we've lost, and I think you'd be blackout drunk by about 15 to 20 minutes. And then, I mean, the game started, and it was ugly. I mean, you talk about, like, Iowa State, they were able to get two picks on Josh Hoover early on. I think it was Trey Bell and Josh Patterson who I think that was a really good day. And I think this has been the best performance this secondary has had since the injuries to John Tess and Jeremiah Cooper. So the secondary really stepped up and got those plays. And then you obviously were able to go up early with a Ben Bramer touchdown. And obviously that was a pretty special moment for not just him, but for the entirety of the fan base. Because obviously last week he had been knocked out of the Arizona State game with what was a scary injury. And it turned out like it's like one of those shots. I think everybody was speculating throughout the week, like, what was that injury? And from what I saw, it looked like one of those, like, you ever watch, like, UFC and you see a guy, or boxing, you see a guy nail a nasty, like, body shot to, like, the liver or the kidney. It takes a little bit, but then once you feel it, your body just completely collapses. Mm-hmm. That's what that looked like, because I went back to the Arizona State game, and yeah, Bramer took a nasty shot to the side of his body. So I'm guessing that's what it was, and that's why he was able to get discharged from the hospital so quickly, was because it was just a shot to the kidney. So really good to see him not just like get through that, but also play through that, like play after it, and then be able to score a touchdown. That was big confidence. And then it became a defensive, like it was a struggle fest throughout the first half. Second half, it was a tale of two halves within the half, where TCU were able to find their groove, make adjustments, and take advantage of some things that they liked. They were able to go up by double digits. But then Iowa State down the stretch were able to make adjustments of their own, and then they were able to come back down double digits and ultimately win the game. So really gutsy, gritty win for the team. You had to have all three phases work, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, this is definitely a team win for the Cyclones. Let's talk about these key plays. I will say
Now, there's still stuff that like needs to be cleaned up, of course, but I will say that I think that first, I don't know if it was the first drive. It was the first drive right after we got the interception. I think that after scoring on that first drive, definitely gave this offense confidence, really confidence that they really haven't had in like four games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, before we even get to that, can we talk about the ridiculousness of the broadcasting? Because a lot of Iowa State like fans didn't get to see that first pick by Trey Bell because of the stupid way Fox laid out the commercials. Because we had the Indiana Penn State game for Big Noon. They do the post-game interviews, and then they go to a bunch of like commercials before. And by the time we got to like the actual game of Iowa State, we didn't even get to see interception. So it was kind of ridiculous to watch if you were watching it on YouTube TV. That's ridiculous, man.
It's crazy disrespect, bro. It's so stupid. I can't stand.
And that's just the general thing. And that's just the general thing with college football. It's like the commercials are just so ridiculous. And then I remember obviously being at the Arizona State game. Some of those commercials felt like so long because it was already like it was miserable weather as it is. And the fact you have to sit through those like commercial breaks in person, you felt even worse. So it's just a mess. Because you ever see like those commercials where like you get a touchdown score, you then kick the extra point, you get a commercial, then you go to kickoff. That goes out of the end zone, and then you go to another commercial break, and it's just ridiculous. Like,
it makes no sense. Breaks?
It's like you're stacking commercial breaks on top of commercial breaks, and it's like, God, why? It feels like you're paying to watch commercials with the occasional interlude of sports.
That's basically what it is. You're not even there's not even that much game time that you can watch. Honestly, all of it is taken up by the commercials.
Yeah. And this is just like it's ridiculous. But besides that, I mean, just the game. It was one like, but the game. Like, let's get back to the game because I don't even want to talk about these commercials anymore than I need to.
Yeah, let's do it. I will say, I think after that, I think that's when we got our second interception, where Josh Patterson makes an amazing play on the football, and he's been a guy that I'd like to see get more time because he's just been solid at the safety position, making great plays. And once again, the state of Florida has been doing as well with the defensive backfield.
Yeah, and you know what was helpful for him to get that interception was the pressure that was put on Josh Hoover. We saw the defense really get to the quarterback early on, so it's really great to see that we are still able to get pressure. And that resulted in the turnover. And that's one of the things that, like, I think for this losing streak has been criticized. Like, one of the criticisms was the defense and the inability to get to the quarterback. So now we're seeing it. We're forcing these quarterbacks to make quicker decisions than they want to. And that's leading to a bad pass, or in that case for Josh Patterson, an interception for him. So really nice to see this defense finally get through and start putting things together. And I think that's the big thing. Why the defense wasn't really great up to TCU was the guys that we had in just weren't comfortable. They just weren't ready to play in the defense. And I think now that they have the experience and they were able to really find ways to make it work, it's starting to look like the vintage Haycock defense that we all knew from years past.
Yes. I think that's what it looked like to me, because I just think that in order, at least for like the rest of this year, in order for that this defense to work, you're definitely going to have to bring pressure. And I will say that being in the three man, they definitely shut down the run game yesterday. Because if you really look at the linebackers were pursuing, and those run lanes closed up pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. So great. Yeah, the defensive line really did it. They had a really good day. Zamir Hawk, Dom Orange, Ike Iziagu. It was a really nice day. And then you saw, like, the linebackers play like madmen. Cooper Evil was all over the place. Caleb Brzezina, Caleb Bacon making plays. So this was just a well-done effort on all three levels. So really nice to see. And then just overall, and I mean, for a while there, it just felt like the offense, like, even with all those changes the defense gave, the offense, for the most part, really couldn't put it together. But they were able to put it together late and made enough plays. So we got to talk about the offense real quick, because I mean, I think there were struggles for sure, but think those last few drives, especially for Rocco, I think the confidence may be back for him.
It's definitely back. You did you? Oh, go ahead, man. Yeah, go finish up on that.
Yeah. Look at his stat line. He finished 9 of 24. He had 116 yards. It's somewhere in that ballpark. But then you had the one touchdown and the two interceptions. And I think the thing is, those two interceptions, those were just good plays by the defender. I saw a lot of people putting all the blame on Rocco. And yes, those interceptions do end up on his stat line, no doubt. But if you look at the actual way they were, those interceptions were great plays by the defender, whether it was the first one or the second one where Bramer gets it. I mean, people were saying Rocco overthrew Bramer. To me, no. I think Rocco put it in the perfect spot for Bramer to get it. Like, you always want to put it to where only your guy can get it. And Bramer got it. He comes down with it. And then I think it was the linebacker breaks it up. And then I don't remember the corner, but he was able to dive and make a grab to intercept Rocco as Iowa State's driving, and they were in the red zone. So really good place by the defense there. But the last couple drives were huge. I mean, you talk about, like, the bootleg.
That naked bootleg was a thing of beauty. That might have been Mauser's best play call, his best play calls ever as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah. And then you also saw that Rocco, like, on that 40-yard scramble, take it on the third down. Like, I think it was a third or fourth.
Yes. Oh, my God. Take
it, reads it, and he just zips. Like, and that's the quick decision-making that we've been missing from Rocco for a while. And then you see the confidence as well on that last drive before the naked bootleg. Him throwing that dart to Eli Green on the third down when they needed to get a first down. You saw the zip and the confidence that he had. He's like, he trusted Eli to get that because – obviously, throughout just this entire season, the receivers have not been helping Rocco. I believe they have the second most drops in the Big 12. They highlighted it at one point during the game. So for Rocco to still trust Eli Green to get that ball and get the first down, that's huge. And now that gives confidence to Rocco, and he made plays. So I think we're starting to see Rocco gain confidence back. And who knows, maybe it's going to be huge for these last two games and going into the bye week.
Yeah, and you sort of saw it on his face, especially on that naked boot. I could definitely see it. And I don't know. I don't know if you agree with me, but I think that Eli Green, I don't know why, but Eli Green always comes up with clutch catches in the fourth quarter. I'm wondering, why don't we see him in the other three quarters? But I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. But to close this, we're going to talk about how can the Cyclones build off this win in the bye week? What do you think that they could do to win out these last two games?
I think number one, you got to keep going with the run game because that's been one of the big highlights. I believe this is now the fourth game in a row where Iowa State has been able to achieve 100 plus rushing yards. They had 161 rushing yards in this game, and Carson Hansen was able to run for, let's take a look. Yeah, Carson Hansen had 100 yards and a touchdown this game. Abu Sama had 30 yards as well. So you saw the run game get going, and I think that's really huge for this Iowa State team because they have been going, they have been doing well, but they just weren't able to be complemented by passing game. But now you actually won the game. I think you continue to run the football with Carson Hansen and Abu Sama. That's been a great 1-2 punch even through this losing streak. So number one, you keep going to that, and that's been working because your offensive line has been the best they've been, I think, in the Campbell era, at least the last time I've seen him play this well. You keep doing that, and now you pair that up with what I think is going to, hopefully is a solid enough and average enough pass game. You can dominate these games because you have it. You're doing the right things in the run game. You just got to be able to put the pass game together. But if you need to, just keep running the football because that's been successful. And I literally tweeted this out. But the one play that I think Iowa State should be running the rest of the season, just run through a motherfucker's face. And that's exactly what I think we should just do. We should do that most of the time.
Yes. No, I agree, bro. I don't want to be that person, but I'm gonna be that person. Can we as a team go on the jugs machine, bro? Because golly, bro, these drops are insane. They're backbreaking. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to be that guy, but it's so frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was one I remember. It was Carson Brown. It would have been a first down. It just hits his hands and he drops him. Come on! I even tweeted out: take a drink for every drop by a receiver when Rocco puts it on the money. And I tweeted, I'm like, you would probably black in 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah, you would be dead. You would be dead, Cody. Yeah. Like you said, build on the run game. And I think you might have found a formula defensively. I think whatever they did yesterday to get them to get Josh Hoover out of sorts, I think that might be the same game plan that you have defensively. And then I think what you're probably going to see, I think you might see Zach Levitt, like you did in 2023, be used as a spy in the KU game, especially with Jalen Daniels. Although, like, KU, their play has sort of faltered from last season. With a tough loss to Arizona, when we talk about that in the Big 12 segment, but I think that those are a few ways that you can build upon this in the bye week.
And real quick, I'm looking at TCU staff. Their offensive coordinator is Kendall Briles. And I think I saw somebody say that this 3-3-5 defense that John Haycock employs, it's perfect to foil the type of offense that Kendall Briles wants to run. I saw that as like, yeah, that's pretty much what you do. For an offense that's like run by like Kendall Briles style, like the air raid, I believe, because they run like air raid style. The 3-3-5 contains that perfectly. So that was a really good matchup wise for Iowa State's defense, and they were able to do well. I think, TCU, they did have 432 yards of offense. You had 100 plus yards from your wide receivers, but they really weren't doing it for the most part. I mean, in big situations, there were certain situations they should have scored, but they didn't. So really good on the defense to bend but not break for the most part.
Bibber not breaking. We also won the turnover battle too. That was the key. Honestly, that's what kept us in the game, kept us from getting blown out. Obviously, the turnovers were the reason why we didn't blow them out. I think we're gonna put that in the rearview mirror. And with that, we are gonna go into basketball.
All right. Basketball over the last week. Iowa State, they go 2-0, so they sweep both of their games, and they win convincingly, and they also covered the spread, if we're into that, if you're somehow betting on Iowa State in November. But, yeah.
You're sick.
So they win against FDU, 88-50. This game had a spread of 37.5, and Iowa State was able to cover it. Your best performers were Milan Momcilovic, Tame Lissing, Joshua Jefferson, as you expect. And Milan Momcilovic had a career night with 29 points and went 70% from three. So it's really nice to see that Milan is able to be able to hit those. And he was hitting them in stride. They didn't look like too difficult for him. I mean, he was pulling up spot-up shots from three, and he was nailing them. So really good to see. And then on the defense, you saw like great play out of the freshman Killian Torre, who was in the starting lineup. So he had 9 points. He was able to knock down a three. But you saw his presence defensively. You saw again in the game against Grambling State, where Iowa State put up 100 points. They won 102-62. The sequence that I can remember the most is we score a basket. Killian Torre is immediately full court pressing. He gets the steal, and then he slams it home. But that game will also be remembered for two plays by Tame and Lipsy. First, the fake pass into the layup where he had the dude sidestep.
Oh, that, bro, that was insane.
and then I think a little bit later he drives it up, and then he breaks the dude's ankles to score another layup. He put that guy, whoever that was, that got put on skates. See ya, put you on the and-one mixtape. And then again, Lipsy with another great play gets the steal. He passes it behind his back to Killian Torre, and Torre is able to put it in. So that was just a highlight game for Tame and Lipsy, and I mean it was fun. It's fun to just see these games because, like, obviously you're not playing that great of a competition, but it's nice to see the guys play loose.
Yeah, man. Bro, I will say that Killian Torre is becoming a fan favorite. And now Jamarian Bateman is also coming into his own. He hit a three. So I'm like really, really excited to see in a few weeks, I think in like 2 or 3 weeks, when the Thanksgiving tournament comes up. Very, very excited to see these young guys play against the elite competition.
Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, in the front court, Blake Buchanan had a pretty solid day. He almost had a double-double. Family stayed. And I saw somebody tweet, he looks exactly like Rob Jones when he airballed that free throw. I'm like, Yes. you can kill the man, but you can never kill the idea. You, somehow, someway, we're always going to have a Rob Jones archetype. And hey, I'm here for it. As long as that guy can rebound and yam it on somebody, because there were a couple of occasions in these two games where I thought Blake Cannon was going to look like Blake Griffin and just posterize someone. I was so excited. I was so close to seeing it happen. Didn't happen, but I really hope we get to see it at some point. Just puts
it'll come with time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll come with time.
Yeah, and then we also got to highlight Dominic Nelson. He's coming into form as well. He's looking pretty good. And then we even saw Xavion Mitchell hit a couple threes in the game against Grambling State. So really nice to see in garbage time, but still seeing those two threes go down. I think with time, Xavion Mitchell is going to be a guy that is going to be in the rotation regularly. So, and then Dominicus Plato as well. I think these guys, I think we're going to have some pretty good depth. Hopefully we have pretty good depth this year. Because that was the thing that killed us last year with the injuries. Yeah. We didn't have good enough depth. I think if Iowa State can run a 9 or maybe even a 10-man. I don't know if you're going to run a 10-man, but I think a 9-man rotation. That's going to be huge come February and come March.
That's what I'm saying. When you get these young guys' experience, especially in this Vegas tournament, that's why I'm really, really excited. I think this is something that we were talking about way before in preseason, is to mm-hmm. get these young guys playing time so that by the time you get to March, Lord God forbid that we have another injury that's season ending for somebody, that they would be able to come in and there wouldn't be a decrease in talent, but like it would not that much of a decrease to where it'll be like a miracle to win a game.
And I mean, you're forgetting, like, even before we have Vegas, we've got Mississippi State and Dakota tomorrow. So that's going to be a pretty nice game. That's going to be a nice preview of what the team is against a pretty solid SEC squad in Mississippi State.
Yeah, squad Mississippi State that have been in the tournament last year. It's definitely going to be a test for the Cyclones. I'm really, really excited. I believe, when does that game come on? At 7, right?
Yeah, that's a 7 o'clock tip-off, and I think it's going to be on ESPN2. Or ESPNU. Okay. I don't remember which one it was, but that'll be one to look out for. So if you're watching Monday Night Football, you can also watch Iowa State play against Mississippi State on the Monday. So really, that's going to be a nice game to have. Yeah, really nice, like, first test you'll have for Iowa State against good competition. But, yeah.
Yeah, and then the women also has been looking sharp today. I believe the women played today earlier.
Yeah, they did play earlier today. I need to go look at, like, I wasn't able to go, but, I mean, I got to take a look at the score real quick. I mean, they've been they almost put 100 on Sacred Heart. They won 99-34. And stop me if you heard this before. Audie Crook scored double-digit points.
As always, she's a monster.
Yeah, 21 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists. Went 3-5 for the free throw line. Addie Brown almost a double-double with 12 points and 9 rebounds. Jada Williams only had 4 points but did contribute 8 assists, so she's dishing it. Kenzie Hare went 2-5 from 3. And then you also got to see Alyssa Williams and Reese Beatty gets double-digit points. Alyssa Williams with 14 and 8 rebounds. Reese Beatty with 13 points and 6 rebounds. And also Lily Talley with double-digit points, 10 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist. And Iowa State, they went 9-23 from 3. So just a really good day all around. And, I mean, they forced – let me take a look here. They forced – yeah, 25 turnovers they forced on Sacred Heart. So, I mean, can't say too much for it. But, yeah, the fact they forced that many turnovers against a team with this – I've been looking – this feels like you're watching the women's team. They must have gotten some training from TJ Augsburg on how to play defense because, man, if you can force, like, I don't know, double-digit turnovers against, like, really good competition, like you get 15 or 16 turnovers against a really good team, I like our chances.
No, I agree, man. It's going to be an exciting women's team. Excited to see these girls have a redeemed season. As they go further into their non-con. All right, that is enough basketball for today. We're going to go and look at this crazy slate on Saturday. it never fails. As to these, it's always these crazy
quiet weeks. Where,
yeah, it's the quiet weeks that are always the most chaotic. We're gonna start. I'm gonna share my screen. We're gonna take a look at a few things, and I'll watch a video that totally cracked me up. But man, can we talk about Indiana and Penn State? What a game!
Oh yeah. Well, we gotta highlight some Maxson real quick before we get to that.
Oh yeah,
dude, I love Maxson. I'm here for it. Just the entire month of November, you get some Maxson going. Yeah. So if you pull up like all FBS, we gotta talk about Maxson. So
here it is.
So you've got the Ohio Bobcats winning a close one against Miami of Ohio, 24-20, and Akron, just UMass, they just continue to have the really bad year. I don't know. They got to get demoted at some point. Like, why? Why are they even in FBS?
I don't even know, dude.
But anyways, we go to Wednesday. Ball State gets a win over Kent State, and then Matt Campbell's alma mater, Toledo, runs up the scoreboard against Northern Illinois. And it was from the first play. I saw Toledo take a kickoff, return for a touchdown. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a long day for Northern Illinois. And Toledo puts up 42. Wins 42-3. So really good day for Toledo fans. And then we've got on Thursday, App State and Georgia Southern. That they went to a thriller. Georgia Southern wins by 2. And then the Fighting Golishes of South Florida, the Bulls, they put up 55 points on UTSA, and they look to be in the hunt for the American. And speaking of the hunt for the American, Tulane gets a big win at Memphis. And it opens up that American race. It opens up the Group of Six race. This is just crazy to look at.
Yeah, let's look at the standings in the American real quick. We're going to go down and look at that. Right, yes. Okay. So there's a three-way. Oh, no. Now let's look at this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
So 5 teams with 1 loss. Navy's got the extra game. Like, they've got the extra half game, but this race for the American is going to be nuts, because who knows? I mean, I'm looking at it's like I think we have to look at the top four. Because I don't know about East Carolina, because yeah, they are, but I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs. I think between Navy, South Florida, Tulane, and North Texas, one of those four, if they win the American, they're going that should be the team that gets the G6 spot to represent them in the college football playoff. But yeah, Tulane with a big win, and I mean this thing was a shootout, 38-32. Memphis tried to pull one late. They scored 15 unanswered in the fourth quarter, but it was just not enough to take to protect home field against Tulane, led by Jake Retzlaff. And man, this is a fun race. This is what I love college football for. This is the fun race we're looking for. We're talking about all the ACC, the Big 12, these Power Four. No, the real football, you are watching the American. You're watching the G6, because this is the race. This is what you're looking for. Absolute cinema.
Yes, that was absolute cinema. We told you guys to watch this conference, and it did not disappoint.
Action as well. We also had some big bowl action. We had Northwestern at USC. That's going to be a future opponent for Iowa, but Northwestern got fettywopped. They lost 17-38, and just another good day for the Trojans. They look to be in the Big Ten race. They only have 1 loss, I believe, in conference. So who knows? They might be in the playoffs at large as long as they keep on winning. And then in the space game, Houston is able to squeak out a 3-point win at the Bounce House. And I think Houston is now officially Space University.
Yeah, they are now the space school. I thought for sure that they were going to get trounced in this game, because UCF always puts B to A to somebody. I talked about this on the preview show last Thursday, and man, it was crazy. Now they're 8-2. They have a chance for a shot to win a 10, have a 10-win season.
Oh yeah, and I mean Houston, I don't know if it's gonna happen, but they are right there in the race to go to Arlington now with a lot of teams that I think nobody's undefeated in conference left in the Big 12. We'll get to that in a little bit. Yeah, if you look at the car standings, everybody in the Big 12 has at least 1 loss. Well, Houston's got 2, but man, if somebody between Cincy, BYU, or even Texas Tech slips up, Who knows? Maybe Houston can find a way to sneak in there, but let's see how the tiebreakers go. But yeah, the race for the Big 12 is going crazy, and this is fun. I know Iowa State no longer has a horse in it, but I think it's fun to watch. Like, because we were in this position last year at this exact time. We had two losses, and we were trying to see how we can get it. So it's really interesting to see this race.
No, it definitely is. And BYU and Cincinnati play each other next week. So we could see a Texas Tech versus Houston rematch in Arlington.
Yep. And then, yeah, speaking of BYU, we got to talk about that because, man, for all the hype this had, this is 2 weeks in a row now where College Game Day has gone to a Big 12 campus, hypes up the game, and it just did not live up to the hype. Texas Tech just proves they are like they are leagues above the rest of the Big 12 as they just completely shut down Barrett Bachmeyer and the BYU Cougars. They won this game 29-7. I think Texas Tech could have blown them out by more had it not been for some like the red zone inefficiency from Texas Tech, because they had that red zone drive right before the half where they were at fourth and goal, and if they score a touchdown there, BYU would have been knocked out. They would have already been knocked out before the fourth quarter, because Texas Tech would have started with the ball, and who knows if they scored a touchdown there. This game could have been way worse for BYU.
No, I agree, and this is like one of the first games this season where Barrett Bachmeyer actually looked like a freshman. That Texas Tech defense is unreal.
We got to highlight Jacob Rodriguez. I dare say Jacob Rodriguez, contender for Heisman. He's got a great mustache. He's got a really great wife, because his wife is known. She's a Black Hawk pilot for the U.S. Army, so salute to her service. And, man, what a great year he's having.
He had 14 tackles yesterday. But these are his stats. This is what happened yesterday. He had an interception. He had 14 total tackles, one interception. What a game.
Yeah, and he even hit the Heisman post after that interception. So that man is gunning for it, and I wouldn't be surprised if he gets it, if he contends for it. I believe if he does win it, he'll be the first defensive player since I believe Charles Woodson would win it.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Be the first time since 97. Yeah, I mean, unless you want to count Travis Hunter, but from last year.
That's a unique situation. It's a two-way, so I think we're talking pure defensive player. Yeah. I think we're just gonna go because Travis Hunter is an enigma being a two-way player, so that's his own category. But for defensive players that win the Heisman, yeah, it'd be the first one since Charles Woodson. So really huge, and I'm hoping he keeps it up because it's kind of refreshing to see a non-quarterback win the Heisman.
Well, for the longest time, it used to just be a quarterback award until Devontae Smith won in 2020. And then you're Mark Ingram somebody else. Oh, yeah, Mark Ingram won it. But I'm just saying that's the most recent
example of a non-quarterback. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, but let's go. Yeah, we got to go down the list of the top 25. Ohio State, they just take care of Purdue. Nothing much. I mean, Julian Sain continues to put it in his Heisman case. But, yeah, we talked about this a little bit. Indiana heads to Happy Valley and survives the Penn State Nittany Lions. Man,
all right.
Penn State, they were gunning for a win, a big win, and this was the perfect opportunity for them.
It was, if Fernando Mendoza wins the Heisman – because of this drive, he definitely deserves it. But we got to listen to the audio because Gus Johnson, man, he cracks me up. we gotta listen to this. Hold on.
Yeah.
We're going to play this. We're going to play the clip for you. All right, here we go. Got it.
I'ma kick back when you fake like that.
And that is why you get ad blockers, kid.
Mendoza in trouble. It's out. Touchdown! Wow! A wild card play. Unbelievable. Getting the eyes of Jovi now.
Was the one but the first one to touch.
Oh my goodness, it's a touchdown.
Oh my gosh!
That's unreal.
That is number one call. I think that's call of the year. Number two, that is catch of the year. I mean, that was
no question.
Yeah, no catch. Like, it's gonna be very difficult to match that. Nobody's matching that. It's in that situation. Thornton Gold, Mendoza's backing up. He's getting pressure. He just lobs it in the air, and Amari Cooper able to high point it, and get his foot down. And I think the ref's in the perfect position to call a touchdown. He was in that ref there. We give a lot of crap to ref officials in college football, but that official, the back judge, he did a great job. He was in the perfect spot to call that. And I mean, that there's no other words you could say. And I mean, Penn State, they were right there. They just needed that one defensive stop because they were up by four late. But Mendoza, game-winning drive, clearly, yeah. That I wouldn't be surprised he wins the Heisman off of that as long as Indiana keeps winning.
Yeah, I mean, well, you see, we're going to look at the Indiana schedule, but it looks like they're probably going to finish 12-0 because I look at their schedule. Let's look.
I would expect the –
they play Wisconsin, and then they play – yeah, Wisconsin Purdue. And then at Purdue. So
we're going to be 12-0. We're expecting a collision course with Ohio State in Columbus or in Indianapolis. Yes. Excuse me. So that's what everybody's looking at, a collision course for the Big Ten against Ohio State. So I wouldn't be surprised. But, man, there's a lot more you've got to get to. But, like, what a way to start, like, your college football day. Like, you had Texas Tech just putting a belt to BYU. Never let them in the game. And then you had that as well. We got to take a look. We got to go further down, like some more ranked matchups. Texas A&M walks into Mizzou, absolutely takes care of business. Alabama, LSU. This one never felt like LSU would win. Alabama didn't really need to do too much. Georgia, they weather an early storm of Mississippi State to win 41-21. Ole Miss, well, they beat a nobody. No disrespect to the Citadel, but Ole Miss wins 49-0. And then number 9, Oregon travels to Kinnick to take on Iowa. This was the ugly game, but the fourth quarter was really, really fun to watch.
Also, we gotta look at a kick that reminds me of a certain other kick that won a game.
No, ironically, on this network.
Good morning, everybody.
Yeah, on this network too, which is crazy.
Yeah. 30-second ads. I hate those so much.
I know. I hate it. I hate it.
Well, while we wait, I mean, what were your thoughts going into this while we wait for video play? What were your thoughts going into this? Did you think that Iowa was going to get that signature win?
Yeah, I thought, like, because, like, I was sort of, like, after they scored that touchdown, I saw it was 16-15. I'm like, oh, boy. I was Iowa's going to get a game-ending interception. And
that first I will know for their special teams. That one is not gonna go on the highlight reel for them. That one on it for the wrong reason. Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Oh man. Reese Dakin, man, fumbles the snap and has to bat it out of kick it out of bounds for a safety. I was like, oh boy, it's gonna be one of these days. But then hey, who knows?
No, definitely. But yeah, that kick was good. 18-16. Oregon moves to 8-1. And was it 5-1 overall in the in the Big Ten. So I believe I want to look at their schedule. Look at their schedule. They play USC in a few weeks.
Ooh, wait, let me see. Yeah, they do. Okay. They play Minnesota. They play the Trojans, and then they're at Washington. And then, well, the big thing for me is, like, for that game, Iowa, if they would have won that game, they firmly control their destiny to go to the playoffs.
Oh, man, yeah, because if Ohio State were to slip up against Michigan again, yeah, they would have had a chance to go to Indianapolis. Wow.
Yeah. And then who knows with USC, they would have the tiebreaker over the Trojans as well. They would have won out. They would have the tiebreaker over USC. Yeah, they would have played Indiana. And man, they more than likely go to the playoffs. But now, with the second loss in conference, the hopes, they're looking pretty slim for Iowa. And, I mean, we got to talk, like, all this time, all Iowa State fans have been hearing from Iowa fans the past month and are losing. She's like, Iowa's going to the playoffs. Mark Grynowski looks good. And now you played a team with an actual pulse in Oregon. I'll commend you for the effort, but you fell short. At the end of the day, you got to win those games, and you did it. So now that makes it however many days it has been. They're 0-12 in ranked games since playing Penn State in 2021. And you want to know who got a ranked win before you, Iowa? Wisconsin. They beat Washington.
Oh, yes. Oh, we gotta go to that game. I was like, wait, Wisconsin won? What?
Yeah. And not only that, it was a ranked Washington team. 13-10 was the final score of that. Luke Fickell, and I tweeted out right after this. I'm like, yep, this confirms Luke Fickell's going to get extended. So I feel bad, Wisconsin fans, but hey, you got a signature win. You got your signature win of the year. You were able to rush the field. So at least something came out of this year. But man, it's funny that Wisconsin got a ranked win before Iowa did. And what's the funny thing is, Wisconsin's last ranked win before this was against Iowa. The irony is to stop beholding.
Okay, but look at this stat. The place kicker was the leading passer in this game with 24 yards.
I think it was the fake punt in the third quarter.
Yes. That's the craziest stat about this game.
Yeah,
the holder was the leading passer in this game.
The punter. Yeah, I was like, huh? All right, I'm like, what? All right, then. I don't know how Wisconsin did it, but they got it done. I think they got it. I mean, what? They got a couple turnovers, and that was crucial. Yeah, two turnovers were huge. They forced Wisconsin to two turnovers. Wisconsin played clean enough to win, and yeah. What a win for Wisconsin. Yeah, at least you have something. I'll give you that.
Yeah. But they get off the side. So congrats to the Badgers.
Yeah, but I feel bad. I mean, now they're going to extend, like, that's going to keep Luke Fickell for another year. Oh, God.
Yeah, they announced it. What was it, last week?
Last week they were going to keep Luke Fickell.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, we can take a look at some more ranked games. Notre Dame, they completely stomp out the Navy. Wake Forest walks in Virginia. And they get, here is the start of the ACC chaos. Wake Forest walks in Virginia and wins it 16-9. With the quarterback who didn't even pass for 50 yards. Right, they out Iowa, Iowa.
Oh, dude, 25 carries for 75 yards. He only averaged 3 yards a carry, and they still lost this game. But the crazy thing is that the Hoos still control their own destiny. That was their first conference loss of the season. And they are now now tied with, actually in a four-way tie with Georgia Tech, Virginia, Pittsburgh, and SMU.
Oh God! Oh no! Do we really think that the ACC is going to have more than one team that goes?
No. Oh no!
Please don't.
I feel like whoever comes out, like, Pittsburgh has Notre Dame, but I think. Let me look. I'm going to look at all these team schedules because I think Georgia Tech is good, but we're going to look at Georgia Tech and see who they have in their schedule. So their last three games are at Boston College. Oh, they host Pitt at home, and then Georgia.
Okay.
Then we look at Virginia.
Yep.
Let's see who they have. They have at Duke, and then Virginia Tech at home.
So those are definitely winnable. Pitt, as we mentioned, we'll play Georgia Tech. Oh, but they get Miami.
Yep, and they end the season with Miami at home there, and then they're at Georgia Tech, and then SMU, who is on the outside looking in. They have Louisville. They host Louisville at home, and then they end in at Cal. So
and this is where we're going to say, yep, this is going to be a chaotic race. And we got to talk about Louisville and Cal, those last two teams, because they did play today. They did play yesterday. And boy, oh boy, did the Calgarithm create more chaos.
The Calgarithm, man, it's insane. They are now bowl eligible at 6-4. But, man, yeah, Louisville, this was a rough loss for Louisville. Basically, they need a whole bunch of things to happen in their favor to even get to even be considered for the title game in the ACC.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they only have one, like, yeah, wait, let me see. Versus Clemson at SMU, yeah. They got to win those two to even have a shot. I got to hope somebody else slips up. Because, I mean, the Virginia and Cal, okay, so Virginia, they're not going to have the tiebreaker over Virginia. And they don't play, they don't play Pitt or Georgia Tech, I don't believe they have. So they need, like, some chaos there. So, yeah, things are looking real slim for Louisville.
Yeah. Yeah, Louisville sort of screwed themselves, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, like I said, last year for the Big 12 was Conference of Chaos. Man, the ACC is definitely the chaos pit that the Big 12 was last year. So welcome to the Conference of Chaos.
Yep, or some people like to call it Tank Conference.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know, for whatever reason. Just when you think you have it figured out, nope.
Yeah, and I don't know if you can really trust Virginia either, because it's just I had a feeling they were going to lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't trust Virginia. I just don't. I mean, only putting up 9 points against Wake Forest, like, come on. You got to do more. How do we only put up 9 points? Respectfully. Take a look at some more ranked matches. Vanderbilt wins in an overtime against Auburn. So Auburn really fighting for bowl eligibility, I believe, but Vanderbilt was able to win in overtime. Miami, they get a win over Syracuse. And, I mean, there isn't too much, like, Miami at this point, outside looking in, not looking too good for you. So, not, I mean, that was just, yep. And then, you know, this one's going to really piss me off. West Virginia beats Colorado in what was supposed to be a cripple fight. And I'm like, okay, how in the world did we lose this team? And number two, how did Colorado think things competitive with West Virginia? But I mean, to be fair, these two teams were both 2 tons bag ass, and then we just figured out West Virginia was less of one. Because, I mean, Scotty Fox Jr. did enough. He threw 2 picks, but he did have a touchdown, so West Virginia did enough to get their second win in conference for the Rich Rod era. And, man, that Colorado loss is looking way worse on us. That's going to be one of those things I really puzzled from this year, is how do we lose to Colorado?
Yeah, and that was with, what's his name, Jaden, or Caden Salter.
Caden Salter, yeah.
But now he's right, benched.
So, yep.
So those are their last two games, so they're going to, so thank you for coming.
Yeah, I mean, you host Texas Tech for your senior day, but, oh boy.
Have a fun time.
Yeah, and then we got to take a look at Colorado. I want to see Colorado real quick. Who do they have left?
Oh, sure. Let's look at Colorado and the Buffaloes. Let's see who they have.
So they're bowl. So they no longer bowl eligible.
Oh, they have Arizona State and then at KC.
Oh, okay. So. This is gonna forever break me, is how we lost to this team.
I know, man.
I can't wrap my head around it. Ah! Okay.
I don't get it, man.
Let's get out of here before I have another meltdown of how we lost to them.
All right, let's do it. That is gonna be today's show. Thank you to FanDuel for being a presenting sponsor for the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Also, as well, make sure to find us on social media, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and Twitch. Twitch handle is Believe in ISU 2025. And also check out the revamped YouTube page. We have a whole bunch of shorts and a whole bunch of chopped up videos from different podcasts to really, really consume our content. We'd love to for more subscribers, so that one's popping off, so go check that out. And make sure to, if you guys want to keep in contact with us, make sure to tap in with me at SciTie Guy and then tap in with Cody at FOMAC Campbell. And that is the conclusion of today's show. For Tyler Carter,
for Cody Vincillo,
this is the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Roll clones, baby.
Go Cyclones.